Father, we thank you and give you the praise and give you the glory this morning, just to be here, fellowship with our other brethren and fellowship with the Lord, and we give you Lord glory and praise. We thank you. So we declare, our Lord, this morning, as our manner is, that the entrance of your word brings light. That's right. And gives understanding to the simple. So we ask, Lord, that that light comes from your word will shine in our hearts this morning. Praise the Lord. Give revelation and give us the light of the glory of God and the face of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let me read first a scripture here before we get into all the promises. Sort of a background. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm going to do these promises. We've done this before, but I thought I'll just do them again. It's a good reminder from time to time. I'll tell you more why in a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, he says, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of Christ and God. Now, grace and peace, he said, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. See, that's that knowledge we've been talking about, so key. And of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's where this title comes from. Exceeding great and precious promises. Now that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's the one I said I'm going to tell you more in a minute about how, why it is important, you know, to from time to time read the promises of God again and again and again. There is a declaration here about the ability of the promises of God to bring us even closer to the divine nature. It's a beautiful thing if you understand it. It means that if you know how to work, these promises of God can make you become even more like God. We've been talking about becoming more and more like God, you know, because look, let's face it, we are approaching the coming of the Lord. And the Lord said in his word, you know, that when he comes, you know, we shall be like him. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, well, you know, we know that we're already sons of God, but doesn't quite yet appear what we shall be, verses 2 and 3. But now, 1 to 3, we know that when we shall see him, we shall appear, we shall be like him. So if the target and the goal is that we shall be like him by the time he gets here, you know, if there are any helpers along the way to help us to get there, well, we should be talking about those helpers. So some of those helpers are these divine promises. You know, they can make us become partakers of that divine nature. And why is that so? Well, we'll look at some of them briefly today. I'm going to group these promises, you know, together in different groups. Today I'll be talking about guidance and leading. But let's just, you know, let's just think about this first of all before we get into the specific promises. How can the promises of God make us become more like God? Well, One thing we know that the Word of God, you know, said the other day, I think it was last Sunday or so, I was preaching this message at GMI Church. It was shared here on the platform, some of it briefly, you know, that God's Word, you know, has the capacity to create change. So that is a beautiful thing. Now, we know that the Word of God, the way that God created all the things, the account of that we see in Genesis chapter 1, it was by His Word. And that Word was what brought change. You know, everything from one thing to another, from the things He did not like the chaos and the earth being void and the thing being darkness all over the place, you know, Holy Spirit doesn't like any of that. You know, so the Lord spoke His Word to change that situation and, you know, and then used His Word to create so many other things, to bring them into existence. Well, you know, when the Lord has given us this same Word that has the power to create that change, if we use that Word, we can become, it's almost like we are acting like God. You know, I mean, you can speak His Word and it will happen. It's like, you know, almost like acting like God. So these promises, besides as other promises that we will see, these promises, you know, can bring us closer and closer to the divine nature. So, you know, that's the first part of today's lesson. Praise the Lord. And so today's particular set of promises that I want to share about guidance and God's leading, God's guidance and leading. That's so critical for us every day of our lives, more so now, you know, at the time that we are living in. And that's always been the case anyway. But the promises of God, we're just going to read through a few of them. As we read through them, maybe I'll say something here and there, but mostly I want to read through these promises for us about guidance and God's guidance and leading. Okay, so I just go through from Exodus clear on to the New Testament. I'll pick out some of these promises and just read through them. Let's start at Exodus chapter 33. Now, this is a conversation between the Lord, of course, and Moses concerning what the Lord said. Not only, this wasn't just for Moses, this was for Moses and the children of Israel. And so here's how the Lord, you know, said it. He said, "My presence," Exodus 33 and 14, "shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." So that's a promise. When God's presence is with you, well, it offers not only guidance, it offers protection, it offers leading, you know, will lead you, said, "Lead me beside the still waters." You know, that's rest also. I'll give you rest. Powerful promise that He gives here. And listen to Moses' response. You know, and it's a good thing, you know, to, I mean, engage God when He tells you something. It's okay. You know, we see it in the examples. We see examples in the scriptures all the time. I mean, God tells you something, feel free to engage Him in what He tells you, and He'll tell you even some more. You know, so Moses said back to God, he said, "Look, you know, if thy presence go not with us," you know, because the Lord said that my presence will go with you. So Moses tells the Lord, "Well, yeah, I hear you, but if for whatever reason the presence will not go with us, then carry us not into such a place." And that's a good prayer. You know, we pray for God's guidance, leading, and protection at times, but sometimes we need this kind of prayer. Look, if you are going into a place, or you are about to embark on something, or a trip, or journey, or whatever, In this case, it actually involves movement from one place to another. And the Lord is not in it. Moses said, well, don't even take us there. Help me to understand that that's not something that I should do. If the Lord's not going with me, then carry us not thence. Let me not even go. Praise God. I mean, you can go further in praying that prayer and say, Lord, let the Lord even block my attempts to go. Yeah, you can pray that prayer. I pray like that at times when I'm looking for direction on some major, I've had situation like that, major crossroads that needed to do things, you know, maybe the ministry or this and that. And I said, well, Lord, if you be your will, go ahead and prosper it. Show me your high hand in this thing. But if not be your will, if it be not your will, then block it. Praise God. Give God permission to do that and say, cool. And so that's what Moses is saying here. If it's not your will for us to go to any place, then don't even sponsor that thing. Carry us not thence. So that's a beautiful promise and a beautiful reaction to it. The Lord said he will be with you. His presence will guide you. Praise God. So that's a good one to hold on to right off the beginning of this lesson today. Another one which is, it's more of a revelation, but it's also you can think of it as a promise of guidance. You know, I love this one in Job 32 and verse 8. You've heard me refer to it multiple times. Say there is a spirit in man. This young man was saying, look, it's not, wisdom and revelation does not always come by age. You know, some of it by age, and that may be good, but doesn't always come by age, you know. So he said, well, there is a spirit in man, that gives him understanding. Because he said, look, I'm younger than the rest of you, and the rest of you are older than I am. This was Elihu, son of Barakel, speaking. He said, well, therefore I waited for age to speak, and a multitude of years you teach me wisdom. I couldn't get it from you guys. So he declares and says, well, but there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Now, this is a beautiful, powerful scripture. You latch onto it. I've used it, and it's worked for me many times. And I see that more people are learning to use this. It's a powerful promise that God will give you, guidance and instruction, leading and understanding, understanding dark sentences and situations where you couldn't figure it out, but all of a sudden God just illuminates something inside of you. It's called the inspiration of the Almighty. And I often encourage people, acknowledge it as such. Give the Holy Spirit the credit when things like that happen. Don't just say something said or this or that. Don't give it up to chance. No. It's the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Almighty. The one that gave you instruction. Even while you sleep, the Lord can seal the instruction in your heart. And you wake up, you get this light bulb goes off. Got this incredible idea. It came from the Lord. And you're trying to do something. You can't figure it out. And all of a sudden, you figure it out. You didn't figure it out, but all of a sudden you just have knowledge of something which you didn't even know. Somehow everything comes together because of it. It's called the inspiration of the Almighty. It comes in many ways. Even I see it almost all the time in various things that I deal with. And even in the ministry, hearing from God, what to share with the people of God. It's all by inspiration of the Almighty, I'll be just there and all of a sudden, boom, something, one word from the Lord, like that. You know, so, and it can bring you solution to many things. I have many testimonies, but I won't go into that today. Just want to read through these promises. It's a great promise if you know how to use it for yourself. Let's talk about David. A lot of things, you know. I always love to read David's writings and the things that he has to say, you know, about the Lord and so forth. Psalm 31, let's read a couple of verses there. Verses 3 and 4. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Now, this is kind of a prayer, but we also know that, you know, it's a powerful thing in the Word of God. It's a prayer, but we believe also that if you know how to use that prayer, it can become almost like a promise. Pull me out of the net that they have secretly laid for me. Isn't that a good prayer? And God will pull you out of the net that they have laid for you. He will deliver you if you see him as your rock and your fortress. So one good thing about David was, you know, he personalized, you know, the attributes of God for himself. You know, it's not only that God is the rock, we know how he is, but God is my rock, you know, and my fortress and my deliverer and my help, you know, my shield and the lifter of my head, you know, my salvation and even my song. I mean, everything between him and God, he personalized it. And the Lord will be your rock and your fortress. You make him so. You know, and he will guide you and he will lead you for his name's sake. And he'll pull you out of the net that they may secretly have laid for you. You know, he will, you know, to the Lord, there is nothing done in secret. You know, so what they may be doing, laying a net for you, is not a secret to the Lord, because the Lord can see it clearly. So it's not a secret. It might be a secret to you. In the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 17, it says, look, in vain is any trap set, you know, in the sight of a bird. I mean, the bird is looking at you and you're setting the trap. Yeah, it's in vain. He's not going to fall for it. God can see you do it. You know, so, and that's the same, you know, the eyes of the ego, the Lord, he sees it all, you know, and so anybody may be setting anything, or the devil himself, it doesn't matter. The Lord has seen it. And if he can see it, you know, and that's why, you know, we, you know, make him our guide through life. You know, he can lead you because he's already seen where all the land mines are. As you navigate through that field, he knows exactly all the places where if you put your foot there, it's going to blow up in your face. He knows it. And he can guide you through all of that. Now escape it all. Praise God. You know, so, and you'll be clean escaped because the Lord is guiding you. Said everything they set, the trap, the lion mines and everything, I escape them because the Lord is my guide and he will lead me through life. Praise God. A beautiful and powerful one. Psalm 32 verse 8. I will lead you in the way that thou should go, and I will guide you with my eye. That's another powerful, point blank promise about guidance. I'll lead you in the way that you go, and I guide you with an eye. I love this one too. I read it all the time, but read the next verse as well on that. Only don't be like the horse or the mule. God's trying to guide you, but you're being obstinate. You don't want to go. You don't want to listen. I jerk you around, you know, with bit and brittle. So don't do that. You know, let the Holy Spirit gently guide. Release the control to him, you know, and let him do it, you know. So, I mean, Holy Spirit, trying to drive the car. You're struggling the steering wheel with him. You're going to crash. You know, let the driver drive. Don't struggle the steering wheel with them. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a crash. So the Holy Spirit is the governor, and he wants to guide us. He wants to lead us And we should let him do it. And it shouldn't be a struggle. You know, be like the horse or the mule. I mean, this, the horses and the mule, sometimes they won't go. You got to put a bridle and bridle in their mouth, chuck them around like that. No. Holy Spirit and us shouldn't be like that. Should be just easy, flow. Let the Holy Spirit guide, yield control to him, you know, and irrevocably too, you know. Say, hey, Lord, I give you control. You got it. Praise God, you know, and that's how he will guide you and he will lead you. Psalm 37 and verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Hallelujah. And trust thou also in him and he will bring it to pass. You know, when you commit your way into the Lord and you trust in him, he'll bring it to pass. Whatever it is, you know, you trust him, he'll bring it to pass. The way may be, I mean, sometimes the way the Lord brings it to pass, maybe he will carry you, not dance, just like Moses' prayer. He may say, you're not going over there, you know, and he will show you a different way. But we trust him. We lead him. I mean, we trust him to lead us and he will guide us. Praise the Lord. Psalm 37 and verse 23, same chapter. The steps of a righteous man or a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighted in his way. The Lord will delight in you. It's my prayer also. And order your steps. He will guide you. Praise the Lord. You know, because you, he has, in, you know, imputed upon you his righteousness. So we are called righteous as he is righteous. You know, he has given us his nature. You know, so steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The Lord will guide you. Order your steps. He will delight even in guiding you. He does that too. We should also delight in receiving his leading. And, you know, I mean, we need to develop a relationship to the point where, you know, you just know that whatever the Lord's doing, wherever he's leading you, whatever he's leading, whether it's saying yes, no, or whatever, it's all good. Trust him absolutely. You know, I call faith as an acronym, F-A-I-T-H. You can say fully and intentionally trusting him. You know, I mean, you just trust him. However he leads, where he leads, I follow. You trust him implicitly and explicitly. Praise the Lord. And he will guide you. Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Hallelujah. And afterward you receive me to glory. Isn't that beautiful? And I say amen. You know, I mean, the Lord will guide me, he said, with thy counsel. And afterward he will even lead me and receive me into glory. My goodness. What confidence did this man have, you know, is the Lord. And he was used also. I mean, was a man that was acquainted, you know, with the presence of the Lord. It's not, you know, it wasn't something foreign to him at all. Because he loved to be in God's presence. And he knew how to praise the Lord. So he knew that the Lord was going to receive him. Praise God. And so the Lord will guide you with his counsel. Counsel is an amazing thing that we need to have in our lives. You know, and, you know, counselors are good also too when they have Holy Spirit and they counsel by the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. And the Lord will counsel you. He will give you guidance. He will lead you. Instruct you the way they should go. You need to know how to hear from the Lord. We covered that series a few months back. The Lord's counsel of the Lord will be with you. Praise God. Psalm 119 and verse 105. This is one of the ways by which the Lord guides you. It's right there in his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, you know, when you are with the word of God, you'll never be in darkness. It's basically what he's saying. Where you are, it'll be light. Ahead of you, it'll be light. You know, so where you are, you're light. Where you're going, it's light. You're not stumbling around in darkness. Jesus said it himself, John 8 and 12. You know, if a man, you know, follows me, he will not walk in darkness. He said, you know, he's the light of life and everything. So, when he's the light of life and we are following him, we know that, you know, we also shall have, the light of life, you know, just like he has it, you know, and he imputed to him, to us, whatever he has. Praise the Lord. And he's imputed that to us. And I am the light of this world, he said. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. John 8:12. That's a beautiful. Walk in darkness means you will not be confused. I mean, you know, not walk in darkness, rather, means you will not be confused. You know, walk in darkness, somebody who's confused. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going. You know, like they're stumbling around, you know, fumbling their way through life. Now, that's not you. When you follow Jesus, that's what he said. He that followeth me, glory to God, shall not walk in darkness. And so we should not, you know, be in a state of confusion. Take a hold of this promise. When there's confusion in your matters, I mean, there's no clarity at the moment, well, grab a hold of a scripture like this and say, Lord, you said, and just speak his word back to him. Remind him. Isaiah 43:26 says, remind me of these things. You know, let us plead together so that you might be justified. Plead your case, you know, with the word of God. That's how you do it. You know, so you say, Lord, you said, I will not be in darkness. I have the light of life. Well, there's no light right now. But let the light shine upon your ways. Hallelujah, and it will. Praise God. Well, it comes from you also, you know, getting closer to the Lord. That's where we find in the Word of God, we find the promises of God. When you read the Word of God, meditate upon them. I mean, these words of God, you know, in your heart, you draw close to him and use the promises of God. Never let them, you know, depart from you. Always have the word of God with you. Always thinking about it. Acquaint now thyself with him, Job said. Job 22:21. Acquaint yourself with him, with his words too. And he said, be a peace, you know, powerful. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Now I pray thee, he said, receive the Lord out of his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. But you got to know those, the words. You got to lay up those words in your heart. That's what's going to get you out of the confusion. If you don't know the word of God, you just, you know, you might be confused. But the word of God, there's an answer in the word of God for every situation. And I often say, look, if there's no answer in the word of God, then it's not a question that you need to ask. It's not an answer that you need. You know, if God doesn't have it, you don't need it. Praise God. That's the way I say it. That's the conclusion for me. In everything, like, you know, there's no solution in the word of God. It's not a solution that I need, you know, so, and just move on to something else. Praise God. But there is a solution in the word of God. Receive the law from his mouth. Lay up his words in your heart. If thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up, and so forth. But it starts with you laying up his words in your heart. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, light to my path. My path, praise the Lord. Psalm 121:8, powerful promise of protection. He said, the Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. In fact, that whole Psalm 121, powerful guidance and protection there. The Lord will provide protection for you. In the day, in the night, the sun will not smite thee by day. Sun will not smite thee by night. I mean, moon by night. He will preserve your going out. He will preserve your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. I mean, these are beautiful promises. You know, so you can take those promises at any time and use them to bring a change to your situation. When things are not going your way or the way that you think they should go, I mean, like them to go, dig into the promises of God. then use that word of God to bring a change to that situation. Getting a hold of the promise of God and repeating his promise and putting your faith in it. That's how it works. Now, Proverbs chapter 3. I love this one, verses 3 to 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. That's right. That's a precursor to the next one that says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. He will, but you must acknowledge him. Now, don't try to lean to your own understanding. There are some things that, you know, are beyond our understanding. Actually, many things in spirit realm are beyond our understanding. You know, God can compute many things that you don't even know. You know, his understanding is beyond our grasp. You know, so he's looking down at the chessboard, and he's already computed all the different moves that the enemy can ever make. He already computed it all. And in one move like that, he can checkmate the devil if he wants to do it. But, you know, God allows certain things, but, you know, we cannot depend upon our understanding. Isaiah 55 tells us, you know, that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so much higher are his ways than our ways and his thoughts than our thoughts. So, you know, don't think that you have all the answers, is what the Lord is saying. Don't lean to your understanding, because my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. The heavens are higher than the earth. As much so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways higher than your ways. Which means, I mean, he can just pull things out that we have no idea how he's going to do it. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Those are good instructions when you use those in connection with Proverbs chapter 3. Do not lean on your understanding, because God's ways are much higher than your ways, and God's thoughts are much higher. He can bring out a solution, pull out a solution from where you least expect it. You know, many times we're looking in one direction for something. I mean, you know this story. I've told it a few times, you know, and I love this story myself. I love to tell it and I love to read it. And sometimes when I read it again, God shows me yet something else, you know. And this story is in, you know, in John chapter 5, the man that, you know, was lame for many years, 38 years. He was waiting for the moving of the pool, the water, the staring, the angel and all that. You know, and the man, he needed, I was looking for healing. I don't know how long he's been coming, but he's been coming. But as the story went, they've heard, many of them heard that, and they've seen it happen. The angel will come in there, stay at the pool. You know, they all of a sudden, they may or may not have seen the angel, but all of a sudden they see the pool moving and turning like that into it, almost like a cyclone, you know. And they know that when that thing happens, that first man that stepped in was healed of whatever sickness he had. That was it. That's it. That was the end of that sickness. So everybody camped out. You know, it's kind of like the day how people used to camp out before COVID for Black Friday or whatever they called it. You know, opening of the stores. And the people would camp out for hours in the night waiting for the store to open. And jump in line, be the first to get a hand on those deals, you know, those once in a while deals that they make. So this once in a while deal of this angel coming there, stay at the pools, everybody camp out. You got to be the first in line. If you're second, doesn't work. You got to be first. So this man, he tried a few times. He didn't make it because somebody else gotten ahead of him. Wow. You know, so he's there. But, you know, in his mind, he never really gave up. But in his mind, he's just like, well, one day it'll be my turn. One day I just be the one and get in there and I will be healed. He knew it in his heart, you know. So here comes Jesus. Would you, friend, would you like to be made whole? Jesus asks. Are you kidding? It's a lot of impotent folk there. I mean, great number. This man is there waiting for the stirring of the water and the angel. He wants to be healed. And Jesus asking him this question. What kind of question is that? The man thinks. Are you asking me what? Of course I want to be healed. Why do you think I'm here? All of us here want to be healed. Jesus saying, no, I'm talking to you. Would you? There was a lot of people there, but it was only that one person that day that Jesus targeted. So Jesus was talking to, in fact, the Bible says, a great number of impotent folk were there all the time. But Jesus went to this one man and said to him, would you like to be healed? The man didn't think that that was a fair question. Because, you know, it's like, what else would I be here for? And they said, well, you know, but see, the story, the element of this story that I want to bring out is that this man wanted to be healed, but in his mind and in his thinking, the way the healing must come, there are so many parameters. Well, first, he had to time it just right, you know. Nobody exactly knew. They just knew it was around the season. You know, and if you go weary, you went home, you might come back and find out that, oh, the angel came yesterday. And, you know, so everybody just waited around. You know, so you got to get it right. And not only that, you know, among all the struggle, you got to be the first. I mean, how do you know you're going to be the first? I mean, people always getting in ahead of him. You know, but in his mind is focused on, I got to get in that pool and be the first. And if all of those things are right, then I will be healed. See, now, Jesus is showing us in this story that, look, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Yeah, you know, as the heavens are higher than, I mean, you thinking your healing is going to come from that? Well, today, Jesus said, forget about the angel. Forget about the water. Jesus is the one that sent the angel. He's the one that sent the water. But, you know, for the angel to do that, he's the one that created the pool and all that. But, so, look, don't worry about it. Today, it's a different way that God is going to bring that healing to you. And that's a great lesson for us. You know? So never lean to your understanding. God can use any different way. You're so focused on this is how God's going to do it. That may not be the way God's going to do it this time around. You know, may have been doing it like that all the time. But you can't put God in a box and say, you did it like that before. This is the way you must do it again. That's the only way that it's going to happen. Well, that's what you think. God says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So do not lean on your own understanding of how I'm going to do it. Don't lean on him. Now, you believe God for what? You leave the how to God. Even in technology, you know, we say to our customers, you know, tell me the what. Yeah, give me the requirements. Leave the how to me. Yeah, I'm the engineer. Tell me how to do it. You just tell me what you want done. Let me figure it out. So, same thing with God, you know. Tell God what you want. You know, Jesus say, what things soever you desire when you pray, you know, believe, you know, you shall have them. Well, and then all things soever when you ask in prayer, believing, well, I'll come to that in a minute, you know, but, you know, you've got to believe God. You've got to not lean on your understanding. Ask God and leave it up to him how he's going to do it. Let's not tell him how he's going to do it. Just tell him what you want. There's a song that says, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Well, but how he's going to do it, that's his department. It's not your concern. How he's going to do it. He has a way that he can pull that out. Many different ways that you have no idea about. So lean not your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he should direct your paths. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. A man's heart devises his ways, but the Lord will direct his path. This again goes to what we've been saying. You're planning it this way, but the outcome, the way the Lord is going to do it may be totally different. You know, he may be guiding you into another thing. I mean, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, there are many devices in a man's heart, you know, but the counsel of the Lord you know, that shall stand. I mean, that's, you know, these are powerful, you know, promises that look, and they go with not trying to figure everything out only by yourself. You know, the way that the Lord would do it, you know, you never can tell. So when you're planning stuff, remember that the Lord has his own ways. You know, the counsel of the Lord, that is what is going to stand. The Lord has his ways, and we may not have our own ways, you know, all the time. You know, just lean on him and let him do what he does best. And what he does best is confuse the devil, you know, because he can, you know, make the devil run around in circles. He knows every move the devil's always ever going to make. You know, so the Lord, if we completely trust him, he will knows how to bring out the best. So don't lean on your understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Praise the Lord. So, in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21, he says, many devices are in a man's heart. You know, nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Again, this goes with, he will guide you. But don't lean on your understanding. Trust him with the leading. Leave the directing to him. Let him do it. Praise the Lord. And he will do it. It's the counsel of the Lord that will stand. Our plans may be good, but his thoughts are better. And his plans and his will for us is higher and much better anyway. So why don't you trust him with it? Praise the Lord. Now, Isaiah 30 and verse 21 gives us a point blank promise how the Lord will guide you when you're at crossroads. Crossroads, you know. I've been at a few crossroads in my life, and, you know, and you shall hear, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you're about to turn to the right hand or to the left, you know, it's like, I'm at a crossroads. Do I go this way? Do I go this? Should I do this or should I don't do that? How do you go? Which direction? So, well, it's a promise that the Lord will instruct you. I will instruct you with my eye. I will speak a word behind your ears. You will hear it. We need to practice the presence of the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. Many of us, you know, the Lord is speaking, but we are not tuned in. And so we think the Lord is not speaking. Of course he is. You know, but you got to tune into his frequency. You know, the frequency, that's like two-way radio communication. You got to be on the right channel. You know, if you're tuned to a different channel, you will be hearing something else, not that channel, the way the Lord is speaking. So you got to tune in, you know, and hear what he's saying. But the Lord is speaking. Now, if the Lord didn't speak to you, what kind of a child would you be to him? I mean, if you're natural father never spoke to you, I mean, how would that make you feel? I mean, you would feel abandoned. You would not even feel like a child. You'd be going to depression and everything. You know, so, you know, how much more our Heavenly Father? If our Heavenly Father didn't speak to us, well, what kind of a father would he be? You know, and then what kind of son am I? Am I a bastard if my father can't speak to me? Of course he does. And he will speak to me. And he does speak to me. But I got to figure out his voice. You know, that's a question. I got to tune out all the other distractions, you know, tune into the right frequency. I remember in the days when we used to have these analog radios, and I think I still have one of them, you know, trying to tune the thing to some station, you know, you get a lot of static until you fine tune it just right. Well, the digital stations and the scanners and different things, the satellite ones these days, they can pinpoint those channels But still, if you go a little to the left, even with those digital, they still give you, you know, a way to manually tune something. You go a little to the left, a little to the right sometimes. You may still not get the right channel. You still hear some static. But once you get it, and it's clear, once you're right there, it's clear. So, you know, the Lord is speaking. He will give you direction. I will instruct you. I will give you direction. I mean direction. I will tell you which way to go. But we must be listening for it. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 11. Here's a promise of the Lord guiding you continually. Now, of course, this promise comes out of us seeking his face in prayer and fasting. This whole chapter of Isaiah 58 is about fasting. But the verse 11 specifically tells you that the Lord will guide you continually. Isn't that a beautiful promise? For me to know that the Lord will guide me continually. I mean, even when I'm sleeping, the Lord is still guiding me. He's instructing me, sealing instruction in my heart, even while I'm sleeping. I mean, isn't that beautiful? When I get up the next day, there's already something deposited in there, in my heart, you know. Beautiful. You know, God is always with us, you know, putting instructions in our minds, you know, daily and continuously to guide us through life. But we must recognize and practice his presence. Know that he's there, you know, and be sensitive to his presence and leading. And that is how the Lord will lead us, you know, seal instructions in your heart. And you know, you will just find out that it's like the inspiration of the Almighty. It will just drop something there, even when you don't even know it. It's there. You know, let's read this lesson in Job chapter 33 and verse 16. It says, well, even while you are sleeping, God can speak to you either through dreams, or through deep sleep, or even when you don't know it. He can put something in there, you know, but you've got to know that the Lord is guiding you continually, even when you are asleep. Is what this powerful scripture in Job 33 means. So let's read it together. In Job 33, he says, well, you know, for God speaketh once. Let's start it from verse 14. God speaketh once, yea, twice, yet man perceiveth it not. That's what I'm talking about. You know, God is speaking, but you're the one not picking it up, but he's always speaking. And he can speak in a dream, he can speak in a vision of the night, yeah, and he can see, I mean, you don't have to go to bed before God can speak to you. Speak to you while you are awake, dream. But he's saying, even while you are asleep, still be speaking to you. You know, in slumberings upon your bed, when deep sleep falleth upon you, then he openeth the ears of men and sealeth their instruction that he may withdraw man from his purpose. You know, so there is something that you're going to do the next day that you're going to put you in big problems. Or there's something, some place you're going to go that you're going to get into trouble or get into some harm. Holy Spirit will seal instruction in your heart, even in the night. He has his ways, you know, will withdraw you from that evil purpose that is going to cause you harm. It's continually, say, the Lord will guide thee continually, even while you're sleeping. He will still guide you. And these are powerful promises that we need to hold on to. Praise the Lord. And let's jump to some promises, just a few ones. I don't want to go too long today. Let's jump to some promises in the New Testament. Some of the things that Jesus said, or scriptures say, you know, about one thing or the other. You know, so let's look at, you know, what the Lord showed us when, in the book of Luke chapter 1, you know, there is a powerful prayer. You know, you might read that whole chapter, the visiting the angel Gabriel to Mary, and so on and so forth. A lot of things happening in that chapter. You know, later on in that chapter, there is a prayer from someone that I want to just read a part of what he said. Praise the Lord. A beautiful prayer. And this was about the father of John the Baptist, called Zacharias, you know, and all of that. Yeah. He had an encounter also with the angel. And at the end, you know, of course, he didn't believe initially. And the angel said, well, you should have believed. You're a priest. So, you know, he said, well, you'll not be able to speak until, you know, my words are fulfilled. Then you'll know. Anyway, finally, he made this prayer after the boy was born. He said, you know, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who have visited and redeemed his people, and have raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of the servant David, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. All right, that's a good one. We will be saved from our enemies and from the hand of those, you know, that would oppress us and persecute us and do all these things, you know. Praise the Lord. Even those that hate us. And they said to perform the mercy, the promise to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. The oath that he swore to his father Abraham, that he would grant us, that us be, we being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Isn't that wonderful? You know, and he said, well, he prophesied over the child also, you know, that the Lord would make him to go before his ways and so forth. Now, finally, he said, the Lord will bring us knowledge of his salvation, bring remission of sins through the tender mercy of our God, wherein the day spring for no high has visited us. This is the verse I'm going, verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness. Remember, Jesus said, you will not sit in darkness, have the light of life. You know, and those that even sit around the shadow of death, to guide our feet. This is where I'm going. Guide our feet into the way of peace. You know, guide you away from trouble, lead us away from temptation, and deliver us from evil. Lead me away from the pit that man has set for me, that I may not fall into it. And these are prayers. You know, guide my feet into the way of promise. But this is a promise in the way of peace. The Lord will do it. He will guide your feet. He will guide you continually. It's a beautiful, beautiful promise that the Lord gave us here. The Lord will guide you. Jesus said something about the Holy Spirit. And here's where I want to end today. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. There is more of these promises. I'm just batching them in groups. I just want to talk about guidance and leading and so forth. Now, let's talk about the role of the Holy Spirit encompassing all of these things that we've said. And Jesus brought it out in some very simple and concise statements that he made about the Holy Spirit. When he was introducing the Holy Spirit, who at the time was yet to be given, here's what Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 13. The Holy Spirit, he said, you know, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Praise God. Now, we're talking about guidance and leading today. And it's talking about the Holy Spirit, you know, for the church now. The Holy Spirit is that instructor. He is the governor. He's the guide. He will guide you into all truth. Not just some, all of it. Praise God. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. This part I love. I mean, you take the combination of he guiding into all truth and he showing you things to come. I mean, you can't miss, you know, you can't miss. He got you. He will guide you into all truth, show you what things to come. And part of showing you things to come, well, prophetically, the word of God can reveal something to you. But also, you know, you may be in a situation today, you know, an unsavory situation, unpleasant situation, a situation where the devil is afflicting you, you know, and so on and so forth. Oppressing spirits and heal, I mean, situation with health, illness, and all of these things. The Holy Spirit show you things to come. I've used this in my life. Immediately that the Holy Spirit shows me that healing, maybe for myself or somebody else. You know, it showed me that it hadn't happened yet, but the Holy Spirit showed it to me. Then I latch onto it, you know. So you can do the same for yourself. You know, people who are sick in a sick bed, see yourself getting out of that bed. Maybe in a wheelchair, see yourself getting out of that wheelchair. You may be a recipient or have been a recipient of some evil report from the doctors. Well, the Holy Spirit will show you that that thing is resolved, you know, and so on. You know, the moment he shows it to you, he may not have seen it yet, but he'll show you things to come. He already showed it to you, then you latch onto it. Praise God. Because remember the lesson we taught on God's foreknowledge and our faith? Well, God's foreknowledge, by his foreknowledge, he knows everything. So he knows the things to come and he can show it to you. Well, I don't have that kind of foreknowledge until he shows me a piece of it. But I have my faith, you know, and what God knows that I don't know, I have faith that I'll get there because he already knows. He's already seen it. As far as he's concerned, it's done, but I'm not there yet. But with my faith, see, you can use your faith in what the Holy Spirit shows you to become. You almost become like God. So that's why the Bible says that these promises can make you become, become partakers of the divine nature. We read that at the beginning. Holy Spirit shows you something to come. You already know that since the Holy Spirit saw it ahead, it is going to be. You know that already. Because the Holy Spirit does not predict anything. He tells you the way it is. It's not a 50% chance of rain. Holy Spirit doesn't tell you that. There's no 50% chance of rain with him. It's going to rain. Oh, it's not going to rain. He tells you exactly because he's already seen it and he can tell it to you. So now I know that he has seen it and shown me that I'm already healed. He has seen me and shown me that person is healed that I'm praying for. Well, you know, then even though they are not healed right now, but because he's already shown it to me, I can latch my faith into it. Even though you are not healed right now, I can latch your faith into it. And then you see yourself healed. I become like God because now you can, you know, by your faith can transport you from where you are to where God is. See, as far as God is concerned, it's already done. And remember what I've said to you repeatedly in this room. The Lord God does not start anything until first he has finished that thing. You know, if you remember that, you know, you say, how can he finish it before he starts? Well, because in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 15, it says exactly that. You know, it says, well, as far as God is concerned, what is yet to be has already been. So for us, it's yet to be, but with God, it's already been. So you might think of it this way, just like, you know, we were chosen in him before the world began. The Lord prepared a kingdom for us before there was even anything. He already prepared the kingdom. Matthew 30, 25 and verse 34 say, the kingdom prepared for you before the world began. How can he prepare something for us that wasn't even there? Well, that's God. Praise the Lord. That's how he does it. The lamb himself was slain before the world began. How can the lamb be slain when there was nobody had sinned yet? What can be slain for? Because he finished it before he started it. So that's how God works. And if you can bring yourself to understand that, you know, to you, you're still trying to get there, but God's already been there. Been there, done that. God's already seen your healing. It's already done. You know, you just need to get there. So with your faith, you can have immediate transportation in the realm of the spirit, you know, to the place where God is. Praise God. Isn't that beautiful? You know, there are some people that experience physical transportation in the Bible. Somebody experienced physical transportation in the Bible. There was a story of physical bodily transportation. There was a story of Philip in Acts chapter 8. And the Holy Spirit directed him away from all the revival in Samaria to go somewhere in the bush, you might say. And he met with the eunuch of Ethiopia and so forth. And the man was reading the book of Isaiah. He got there, showed him, helped him to understand, preached to him. The man, you know, got baptized and everything. And immediately after that, Holy Spirit caught up Philip, and he was found in another place. Now, that's physical bodily transportation. But I'm going to tell you about, you know, spiritual transportation in a minute, you know, of how you can get to where God is, even from where you are, by faith. These things are possible. If you can believe God, some people say, well, what's he talking about? It's heresy. Heresy to you because you don't understand it. It's not heresy at all. You know, God is there, I'm here, but by my faith, I can bridge the gap. It's just that simple. If you can understand it, it works. You know, all you got to do is believe, not in my own ability. I'm preaching myself here. I'm talking about God. You know, preaching about God's, you know, ability. You know, the word of God is had the ability to change the situation from where I am now to where God already is. I can use it right. And if I know how to use it, it'll work for me. Praise the Lord. So, Philip, let me read this to you. When Philip had baptized the man, you know, in Acts chapter 8, so they went down from the chariot, commanded it to stand still, and they went both in the water. This is Acts chapter 8, verse 38. Both he and Philip, they went in the water, and he was baptized of Philip. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the Enoch saw him no more, and he went on his way. But Philip was found at Azotus. Yeah, it was somewhere from close Samaria before. All of a sudden, he's over in this place because Holy Spirit took him. That's, you know, faith. You know, he's not bound by space and time, is what I'm trying to tell you today. You know, you can use your faith to pierce the veils of space and time. You know, these things, you know, we think, oh, you know, God is way there. Well, by your faith, you can be where he is at. Praise the Lord. You know, and Philip, you know, some of the apostles also at one time, you know, everybody that was in the boat, they also experienced this thing. You know, you can read it in the book of John chapter 6. There's a story there. John chapter 6, I think around verse 21 or so, there is a story there that tells us how all the disciples that were in the boat at one time, something supernatural happened. Well, now let's read it. You know, so now I'm going to read a few things here. When evening was come, this is John chapter 6, verse 16. His disciples went down onto the sea, and they entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. See? So, but Jesus went not with them. And then there was a, you know, great wind that arose. You know, the sea by reason of a great wind and so forth. And they were tossed to and fro. Now, when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, now, Why do you think the scripture put this there? Because some people who don't like to believe the word of God will tell you, wow, Jesus didn't really walk on water. The boat was still at the shore. You know, so it told you how far they had gone, you know, into the sea. It to let you know that they were no longer at the shore. I mean, they've really gone quite some distance, you know. And a full-on, well, I don't know what it means, but the scripture says it can be about a 220 yards, you know, which is about an eighth of a mile, you know. So if you take 20 or 30 furlongs and one furlong is like an eighth of a mile, you might be about 3 or so miles into the ship, into the sea. So you're not on the seashore. That's why, you know, even though he just dropped it there, it is put there. So you know that Jesus wasn't walking on shallow waters. So they've gone about 2 miles into the sea. That's miles off the shore. And Jesus was walking on them, you know. And what happened was when he got there, you know, they saw him and he told them, don't be afraid. So when they received him into the boat, listen to this, verse 21. Then they willingly received him into the ship and immediately, that's right, immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. They were not at the land yet. But as soon as Jesus got there, they immediately were physically, bodily transported onto the other side. Now, why am I saying this thing? Because those were examples in the scriptures where people spanned time and space in one moment. I'm telling you that you can do it by faith. You know, Holy Spirit shows you something that is yet to come. Some distant, maybe future, maybe, I don't know. But by your faith, you can instantaneously be transported to that same place where Holy Spirit already is. And, you know, it's done. God calls the things that are not as though they are. You too can do the same by your faith. By your faith in his promises, we can approximate the nature of God. Make us become partakers of his nature. Well, I'm going to leave today's lesson there. And I want to do some more of these promises and just group them together. Today was about guidance and leading. Yeah. And I've dropped a few words here and there, but it was mostly about guidance and leading. The Holy Spirit will guide you, will lead you, how the Lord gives us many promises, and how some people have used these promises and prayed to God, said, that will guide me, you know, and so forth. The Lord has promised to guide us. So I'm going to pray over the room that the Lord will help us to understand these promises that has given us. If you are struggling with any decisions that need to be made, the Lord will guide you. Praise God. He will lead you also. You know, you trust the Lord. Yeah, I believe that the Lord leads us. You know, by Jesus called himself the good shepherd. John chapter 10, he said, look, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd goes before his own sheep. He leads them out. He calls them by name. And they follow him because they know his voice. And a stranger, they will not follow because they don't know the voice of strangers. So the Holy Spirit will lead us. You know, Jesus is that good shepherd. But Jesus is not physically here with us now. He has given us the Holy Spirit, you know, now to represent that leadership and that governorship. So Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us, telling us what to do, where to go, what to not do, and where to not go. And the Holy Spirit is doing it all. And he will guide you. Just don't lean to your own understanding. I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus for these scriptures that we have looked at in the Word of God. Bible says that these are powerful great exceeding promises that can even bring us closer into the divine nature. I pray that you help each one of us, Lord, to understand these promises, to read the word daily, that it may be a lamp indeed to our feet and a light to our path. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory. Thank you, for the word of God is quick and powerful and is sharper than any two-edged sword. And this word is alive in our hearts. As we believe it, it will do wonders for us. Thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.